Our reading is Luke chapter 15. It's found in the inside. And it's a parable of the lost sheep. Luke 15, from verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, that's Jesus, to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Message: Jesus searching for the lost. No, searching for the lost and found. Because perhaps until we're found, we don't maybe even realize or care to think about the fact that we're lost. It's a story here, all the tax collectors and sinners. Not a popular word today, sinners, is it? Because governments successively have legalized everything that the Bible calls sin. So the word sinner today is very unpopular with the secular world. But there has to be a starting place in God. Over the last few years, I've been asked to take funeral services. And I have to take funeral services of people who have no faith whatsoever. Non-religious services. And one of the first houses I came from, the people had no faith and didn't want a religious service, but yet had an expectation of this 29-year-old girl that I'm thinking about had gone to heaven. And I came out and I was walking to my car and I said, "God, what do I do about this business of people thinking that they can go to heaven but have no religious experience or interest whatsoever?" And I felt the Lord say to me, "Ask them 3 questions. Where is heaven? Who owns it? And who has the conditions for entering into it?" Tax collectors and sinners, God embraces, because usually you know the state you're in. But here, the Pharisees and the scribes complaining, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Pharisees and scribes aren't confined to 2,000 years ago. We still have many Pharisees and scribes today who prefer their religion rather than a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. They're coming to Jesus complaining that he's not doing things their way. Oops, I heard in the news last night that that still goes on in Scotland. Then Jesus, in his wisdom, he's never fazed. He's never put out when people come against him. He's full of wisdom. And he says, "What man of you? What man of you?" And who's he speaking to? He says he's speaking to them. Verse 3. He spoke this parable to them. Who? The ones that were complaining, the ones that were moaning, the ones that were saying he wasn't doing things right. Luke chapter 15 has been described as the gospel of the gospels. The whole of the gospel is here, in essence, in Luke 15. But looking a wee bit deeper at what really is going on here, scribes, Pharisees, developed when they were in captivity in Babylon. There was no temple to go to in Babylon. So the people, Jews, gathered together, and where there were enough of them, they started a synagogue, a meeting place. And certain of them said, "We will never put ourselves in this position of being dispersed again by God. We will make sure we will follow God." But instead of following God, they built upon God's law, laws upon laws upon laws upon laws, until what they said was right. And the scribes, of course, were with them, writing it all down. And it started off just like everything else. It seems to start off okay. And then sometimes it's fairly soon, sometimes it's down the road, things start to go wrong. And the laws that men make seem to be more important than what God has said. Pharisees and the scribes made it an offense and called those people that wouldn't go along with their laws sinners. And then they gave those people a label, the people of the land. Commoners, plebs, in other words, the commoners, the ones who wouldn't conform. Then they ostracized them. And the saying went that if any of the scribes and Pharisees gave a daughter to one of the people of the land to marry, it was like tying her with rope and sending her to the lions to be eaten. They put a barrier between the people of the land and themselves. They weren't to be trusted with money. You couldn't give them any secrets because they didn't have the intelligence, so-called, to keep the secrets. They certainly weren't trustworthy of being appointed guardians of orphans. That was a no-no. Custodian of charitable funds. They would just steal it. After all, they're just people of the land. And you certainly wouldn't go on a journey with them. You just wouldn't accompany them. So there was this divide between the Pharisees, the scribes, on one side, and the people of the land on the other. But who were the people of the land? The tax collectors and the sinners. So who did Jesus join himself to? Tax collectors and sinners. And there was a diabolical plan of the Pharisees, and their aim was to deal with those who wouldn't conform to their ways. It's found in John. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They were more concerned of keeping the religious institutions, keeping the status quo going, than they were in finding out the truth and living by the truth. What is truth? Pilate asked that question when Jesus was in front of him. He says, what is truth? And truth, standing there in flesh, ready to be crucified, was the embodiment of all truth, the Word of God. So the Pharisees were really shocked and annoyed, angry at Jesus' involvement with these tax collectors and sinners, because they were the people of the land, weren't they? But we'll understand, there's many parables in Luke chapter 15, and we'll understand these parables better if we know this. Strict Jewish teaching. There will be joy in heaven over one sinner that is obliterated, destroyed, forgotten forever. Jewish, Pharisaical teaching. Then Jesus comes along, this upstart from Galilee, untrained, didn't go to any of their schools, says there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. If we can understand that concept, we can understand the clash, the spiritual clash, this spiritual warfare that's going on between Jesus and this group of Pharisees and scribes. Sadistically, the Pharisees looked not for the saving power of God, but to the destruction of all those who they called sinners. Is that right? Is this an overemphasis? Well, let's read Philippians 3 from verse 3. This is Paul writing. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Then he relates his history. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Why? Well, at this time they were Jewish believers that had come out of the Pharisaical teaching. And concerning righteousness, Pharisees, which in the law is blameless. But what things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. So here we've this great battle going on between Jesus, the truth, and the Pharisees, the religious people of his day and our day. See, people need hope. Doesn't matter who you are, whatever circumstances you find yourself in, people need hope. They need to know, you need to know, I need to know, there is a way out of whatever thing is binding us at any given time. And Jesus relates this parable to them. And he starts off with saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, what man of you? Now, ladies, if that's a challenge to men, it's a challenge to men. Because you don't want to be seen to be soft or anything else. So he's really embracing them into this picture of a shepherd. Speak about people of the land. They are the lowest of the low of the people of the land. But he relates this shepherd story. if any of you have lost a sheep, you leave the 99 and go and look for the one that's lost. In those days, it wasn't just the shepherds that owned the sheep. Sometimes villages would collectively own sheep and employ these shepherds to look after them. So there could be two or three shepherds maybe looking after a village-owned sheep. And if one went missing, the shepherd was responsible for it. So the others would take the flock back into the town, the city, the village, secure them, rest, and this one would set off looking for his sheep. Now, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, I was in Jordan. And I saw the terrain that these shepherds worked in. Dangerous. In fact, they're still doing today what they did 3,000-4,000 years ago, out in the hills, looking after sheep. And we saw this shepherd on his donkey, getting his sheep together, and he's on his mobile phone. We couldn't stop laughing. Anyway, the terrain is rugged, it's dangerous, and if anyone here is from Harris, I do apologize, but if you've ever been to Harris, it's more barren than Harris is. How sheep ever get fed, I don't know. It's dust and desert, rock and sharp stone. This shepherd leaves the 99 and goes looking for this one sheep. And when he comes back to the village carrying it, it's valuable. It's valuable. It's money, it's livelihood, it's life to them. And he's carrying this sheep in his shoulders and he's coming back and he is one happy man. And everybody rejoices with him in the fact that he's found this sheep. And what does it say? I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. Are there people who don't need repentance? Only the ones that think they don't need to repent. The ones who think they're self-righteous. For the Bible says that we're all sinners. We all need God's grace. But that doesn't apply to me. Well, whose camp are you on today? Self-righteous or the sinner? The people of the land, the ones that the self-righteous look down upon. Jesus tells the story of two people going into the synagogue. One's a Pharisee and one's a sinner. And the Pharisee's, God, I thank you that I'm not like this man. And the sinner beats his breast and he says, God, have mercy upon me. Where do you want to spend eternity, folks? In the heat of hell or in the joy of God's presence? God hasn't changed his mind. Religious people think that the Bible is out of date. God hasn't told anyone that he's changed his mind from what he's written in the Bible. In fact, he says Jesus is the last of the prophets. There'll be no more sacrifice for sin. The only way in to heaven, God's heaven, not the one we've made up in our minds, but into God's heaven, is through Jesus Christ. Where is heaven? Who does it belong to? What's the conditions for getting in? It's putting your trust in Jesus Christ and saying, God, have mercy upon me. I am a sinner. Doesn't matter the size of the hole you're in. this lunchtime. Jesus is the only answer. Let's bow our heads in prayer.